Good evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Westside. So I'm Lou Palmer. I'm one of the elders here. A few weeks ago, you saw Pat. He was up here teaching. He told you that as leadership, we're expected to have a Bible study on hand. Over the last Christmas break, I started working on a new study about what the Bible says regarding death and resurrection. You'll get a little bit of that tonight. But little did I know I would become the subject of what I was preparing. Jesus knew he was just preparing me. Lamentations 3:21 through 23 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Treasure his new mercies every morning. You don't know if it'll be your last. On Wednesday, January 18th, 9 weeks from tonight, I died in Pastor Larry's office, a massive heart attack. Some of the things that I'll talk about tonight will upset those of you that may have lost a loved one. This is my experience only. Because God preserved my life and not another's does not mean that God loves me more and others less. It simply means that in this instance, God's grace and mercy, it fell on me for life and not for death. His grace could have fallen on me for death and not life. It was beyond my control. I would be content with either one. If you're a note taker, be ready to write. I'm going to make a lot of statements. I'm going to try to back them up by the Bible. I'll try. Let's talk a little bit about the soul, the spirit, and death. This is a little technical, but it's important to understand. Physical death in the Bible is the soul leaving the earthly body. That's in 1 Kings 17:21. It's in Genesis 35, verses 18 and 19. It's in Isaiah 53, 12. The life energy of the soul, it departs the body and the brain shuts down. Natural body functions fail. Modern medicine equates it to no brain functions. Each human is made in the image of God. That's Genesis 1, 27. A three-part individual, a body, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, a spirit, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. God's spirit was breathed into Adam. A soul, and man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. But the soul and the spirit are not the same thing. The Bible often uses them interchangeably, but each is unique. Each serves a specific purpose. Each occupies a different part of your body. The soul is in the organ of conscious choice, the brain. That's Romans 12:2. The spirit lives in the heart. That's 2 Corinthians 1:22. I'm not saying that the brain is the soul, nor the heart is the spirit. I'm simply saying that is from where they spring forth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, "Your entirety is made of spirit, soul, and body." In Hebrews 4:12, he says that the soul and the spirit can be divided. They can be divided into their individual parts, as bone and marrow can, but they're not meant to be apart. They're meant to act as one. Your body, that physical frame, flesh and bone and blood, it can only grasp, it can only understand material things, things that are contained in the sensible earth, things that you would detect with your five senses. Your soul, that non-material part of you, it can grasp earthly and celestial things. The Greek is psyche, the mind. Your soul communicates with the world, with the natural on a horizontal dimension. Paul describes the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:11, says that he can only understand the things of man. He can't understand the things of God. They're foolishness to the soul. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. Your spirit, that other non-material part of you, it can understand earthly, celestial, and heavenly things. The Greek is pneuma, that breath that God breathed into Adam's nostrils. Your spirit communicates with your Creator, God, on the vertical dimension. Paul describes the spiritual man in 1 Corinthians 2:15, which can discern, which can understand all things. We're born with a soul and a spirit. They are eternally joined together. They're never to be separated. The soul and the spirit are immortal. Once created, they never die. The soul and the spirit live on after physical death. That's Luke 16:19 through 31 with Lazarus and Abraham's bosom. In Luke 23:39 through 43, the thief on the cross in paradise. Whenever Jesus spoke to a dead person, he always spoke to them as if they were alive. When you read through the Bible and you see Jesus calling out the dead, he raised three people from the dead. He spoke to them as if they were alive. To him, they were sleeping. And that's what the Bible tells us about ourselves. The Christians that die, they're sleeping. Their body is sleeping. The soul and the spirit, they continue on. The soul, the self you possess, the intellect, the personality, the emotion, are all parts of the soul. The spirit's a little bit more elusive. First, it's DOA. It's dead on arrival. Thanks to Adam, man is born with a dead spirit. That's Ephesians 2:1. It's Romans 5:12. It's 1 Corinthians 15:22. That spirit needs to be born again, born from above, born of God's spirit. When Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," Jesus was speaking in that moment, in real time. You must be born again existed before and after the cross. The God of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints, they entered in the same way that we do, through their dead spirit becoming renewed. That's Ezekiel 11:19, Ezekiel 36:26. God gives us a new heart of flesh, and he puts his spirit in it. Jesus rebuked Nicodemus because he didn't know this. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things." Nicodemus should have known these things from all that he taught of Moses and the prophets. That's Luke 16:29 and John 1:45. We should know this stuff too. The born-again spirit cannot sin. That's 1 John 3:9. That spirit, that born-again spirit, is the entity that occupies both heaven and earth at the same time. That's Ephesians 2:6. One day I'd like to understand how that works. It's beyond me. The spirit is your communicator with God. That's John 4:23 and verse 24. The Old Testament saints, they looked forward in hope to Yeshua, HaMashiach. That's all of Hebrews 11 up to verse 39. The New Testament saints, that's us, we look back in promise to Jesus, the Messiah. When you read about the human spirit in the Bible, you need to look at the context that it's talking about. Usually, it refers to a regenerated saint, whether it's New or Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 12:7 is often used as an example. It says, "Then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." They use spirit instead of soul. The soul shall return to God who gave it. They don't say that. The spirit is used. That means the dead man, the dust that returned to the earth. He was a believer. He had a regenerated spirit along with his soul. It returned to God. When James says, "For the body without the spirit is dead," that's chapter 2, verse 26. He uses spirit instead of soul because he's speaking to and of believers in Christ with born-again spirits. An unregenerate spirit, along with its soul, would not return to God, but would go to hell. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, and the him is God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." For the unregenerate, the Bible often uses soul in the place of spirit. It's not one of those rules that you can use in every subject, but look and see where they use soul and where they use spirit. And you'll usually see spirit used for believers and soul used for non-believers. Death comes to the believer and the non-believer. For the believer, the immortal soul and the living spirit return to God. Again, that's Ecclesiastes 12:7. For the non-believer, the immortal soul and the dead spirit wait in hell. That's Luke 16:23. Because they are eternally joined together, the born-again spirit will take the soul with it to heaven. The unregenerate man's soul will take the dead spirit with it to hell. The soul leaving the body indicates death. The soul is the common part of every man in death. The non-believer's dead spirit, it has no influence on the body, whether it's alive or dead. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah prays that a mother's son's soul returns to his body. In verse 21, it says, "And Elijah stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him, and he revived." He was resurrected. Not resurrected to a glorified body, but resurrected back to his earthly body. But a resurrection nonetheless. "For all of you who prayed for me, you were spiritually doing for me what Elijah physically did for the son, praying that my soul would return to my body, praying that my soul would remain in my body." Sitting in my office chair, I face planted into the floor, a mere inches from smashing into Larry's desk. I must have landed on the right side of my face, as later I had a huge goose egg on my forehead. My was split open and I was badly bruised down the right side of my face, and my right arm was badly bruised as well. Larry was right there next to me when I collapsed. He sprung into action. He called 911 and he called out for the other guys to come and help. My skin was turning blue, not long from turning gray. Larry started CPR on my lifeless body. He started spiritual CPR for my soul. Everybody that was there shifted into rescue mode. Keep these guys in prayer. If you will, my collapse was quite traumatic to them. They're just mortal men. They're not trained or prepared for what happened. Larry especially needs prayer. He heard my last breath leave my body. He found no pulse. My heart had stopped beating. My bladder emptied as I laid dead on his floor. If you haven't already, turn to Psalm 34. Do they have that up there? Do you? Okay. "While I was in the hospital, my brother-in-law Todd came by and visited, and he shared this psalm with me. And God's word spoke to me and ministered as I internalized the words as he read them. I reflected on where I was, what I had just gone through, the condition that I was in, and where I would end up. I'd like to interweave these verses with the testimony of the miracles that God performed in my death and in my life. In Psalm 34, verse 1, I'm going to skip down to the second part of it. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." This is all about what Jesus did. In my time of need, when I was truly helpless, unable to even pray, but the Lord heard you that were praying for me. You were in the battle with me. The Lord arranged for many hands to be available, for much knowledge and experience in my time of need. My heart failed in the presence of someone who could physically and spiritually help. I'm often in the office alone, maybe for hours. On one of those days, this would have been unrecoverable, but that was not to be my providence. There were multiple helpers available to perform CPR and other emergency procedures. Not only were the guys there, but the Lord had prepared a special nurse at the time that I needed. The 911 call brought the police, but the officer couldn't get in the front door. They were locked. So he walked around the building where he saw the kids that were getting out of school. There, one of the mothers was picking up her son. Usually the dad picks up the son. And the officer carrying a medical gear caught her eye. She asked what was going on and if she could help. This mom is a nurse who oversees the Code Blue department at Strong Memorial Hospital. And I was in full Code Blue. She joined the guys already working on me. The Lord used her experience to guide the team in saving my physical life. Psalm 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Give Jesus all the glory." Again, he proves that he's to be trusted, not just because I lived, but because he cares and he proves it. He proves it to us daily, minute by minute. We have an AED for just such emergencies as mine. The guys figured out how to use it. I wish I was awake enough to see these. We don't practice how to use these things. I think that we've replaced the battery twice and the paddles three or four times, but it never got used. Emergency services were close and they were fast. The police were here, the fire department came, the ambulance came, and right after the ambulance came, one of the brothers who fellowships here, who's also an EMT, he came to the church when he saw the alert go out. He stayed and became part of the team working on me. In fact, he rode to the hospital with me and ministered to me. Jesus had all the medical support lined up and ready to go as he timed it. On a side note, every service we as leadership try to make sure that there are EMTs or nurses, brothers and sisters who attend here who are ready for emergencies should they arise, and they do. We have maybe 1,200 people that come through here each week. You're gonna get medical needs. We try to be prepared. Verse 4, "And I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." They looked on him. They would be you who interceded, looked on him and looked on the Lord, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. You who prayed for me, you looked to the Lord. His Shekinah glory, it shined on me. It shines on you. There's no shame in begging the Lord for those for whom you intercede. That is your calling. That's in James 5:16. That is Jesus' purpose. That's Hebrews 7:25. I had zero to do with improving my condition. I was gone. I didn't have time to call out to Jesus, to seek his mercy. One instant, I was there. The next instant, I was gone. And no, I didn't have an out-of-body experience. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. No one came to escort me to eternity. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see heaven or hell. I don't have any memory of that day at all. The Lord protected me and kept me in a safe place. It's Psalm 91:4. I may never know what Jesus protected me from, but I do know this. There was no fear or feeling of trouble as I lay there dead, nor when I woke up 4 days later. Fear never entered my thoughts, not before, during, or after. Psalm 4:8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You got to remember that Jesus is our covering. He's our safety. He has one job. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. We are not alone in this world. Not only do we have each other, but God sends his heavenly creatures to help and minister unto us. In Matthew 4:11, it says, then the devil leaveth Jesus, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Just as he did for Jesus, he will do for you and me. That's Psalm 91:11. And just because you're not aware of them doesn't mean that they're not there. I believe what the Bible tells us. That's Psalm 91. Read all of Psalm 91. It's very short. Verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We are the focus of God's love and attention. That's Ephesians chapter 1. Not for a single moment are his thoughts not towards us. That's Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. God the Father loves you as he loves Jesus. That's John 17:23. I am truly blessed by what the Lord did and he does for me. You who interceded can see the results. Here I sit. You're able to taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't be afraid to ask for the impossible. God is able. Just ask that he will. Now, my body responded to CPR. JD came in and he went all Hulk Hogan on my t-shirt, ripped it right off. They needed to be able to attach the AED paddles. Remember that loving EMT brother of the Lord who rode in the ambulance with me to minister unto me? On the ride in, he went all Edward Scissorhands on the rest of my clothes. I have brought a sample for you to see. This was my favorite hoodie. And now it is nothing but shreds. The zipper is gone. Why did they cut the zipper out? No one will answer this to me. But there it is. It's a mess. But his mom replaced it for me. Thank you, Ruthie. She says he bought it, but he didn't buy it. She bought it for me. So they hooked up the paddles to me. They zapped me, and my body jumped off the floor. My heart stopped beating again. They kept doing CPR. They zapped me again. The report I read said that they zapped me 4 times before I made it to the hospital. The nurse that was attending me said that, the nurse that was here said that they hit me 6 times. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall never want, and you'll never lack either, any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear. I will teach you the reverence of the Lord. At some point, the Lord returned my soul to my body and my heart stayed beating. I started breathing again. There I laid, alive. But I wasn't out of trouble yet. At the hospital, the doctors determined that I had 100% blockage of the left anterior descending artery, the LAD. Half of the blood that goes to the heart muscle goes through that artery. The heart attack is also known as the widowmaker. Only 12% of those that have an attack that happens outside of the hospital survive. That means that for every 10 people that has this happen to, 9 of them don't make it. The statistic that I couldn't find was how many of those 12% have no permanent damage. I feel like I dreamed all of this. I'm not in denial of what happened, but I didn't feel any different than I did before. Shouldn't I know that I had a heart attack? Nothing in my body screams, you can't do that because this is sore, or that is hurt, or the other is decrepit. I mentally have to tell myself to beware and slow down. You just had a heart attack. For a brief period of time, the widow maker made my wife a widow. And only Jesus knew if it would be turning out that way in the end. Verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Who doesn't long for a long life and fruitful life? But we're not promised tomorrow. That's Proverbs 27:1. James says that life is a vapor. That's in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 14. Sobering words if we accept them. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I didn't deserve favor from the Lord because I was good or worthy. The Lord's favor is on me and you because he loves us. The surgeon, he installed a stent to take care of my heart damage. They put me on an external pump to take care of my blood flow and to give my heart time to rest and recover. 3 days and three nights I was on that pump. It was doing what my heart couldn't. They wrapped me in cold packs. I had tubes and wires coming out of everywhere. Everywhere. I must have been uncomfortable and agitated. At times they held me in place physically. There were oven mitts on my hands, so I couldn't pull stuff out of my body. On the fourth day, they started bringing me out of the sedation that I was under. My wife said that they had me on Michael Jackson juice. My physical signs were good. I was breathing, my heart was pumping, but they didn't know if I was really there. 4 days, my wife sat by my bed waiting and praying for what Jesus would do. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. That's John 11:3 at Lazarus' tomb. Who here didn't utter those words as you lifted me up in prayer? Until I woke up, I was as dead for those 4 days. My wife couldn't have known, you couldn't have known, that Jesus had already cried with a loud voice, Lou, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. All that we awaited was his command, loose him and let him go. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Thank you, Jesus. He listens, he hears, he never turns away from us. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. This was going to be another time when God's glory was going to shine. The faithfulness of the Lord was about to be shown for all to see. I had pneumonia. I had COVID. I probably had a concussion. My head was split open. And I had, on top of all that, I had a fatal heart attack. The first day I was in the hospital, the doctors pulled my wife and my daughter off privately and gave them the probable bad news. Remember that only 12% make it out alive. They didn't say that, but I've told you that. They didn't know how long I was dead, nor how long I was without blood flow or oxygen. The possibility of permanent brain damage, heart damage, other organ damage, loss of bodily functions, psychological changes. You can imagine the possibilities. He continued, if I do come out and regain consciousness, prepare for me to be in the hospital for weeks. Prepare for a long, slow recovery. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles. Each day the Lord showed his favor to me. He showed answers to your prayers. Your cries to him were heard and he delivered. I did wake up. I suffered no brain damage, no organ damage, no muscle damage, no permanent damage at all. But the doctors were about to see what a mighty God we have. As I said, I have no memories from Wednesday morning till Sunday morning. I woke up on Sunday and the first thing I remember is seeing my wife sitting by the bed with the light of the window behind her. Do you know where you are? Do you know why? She asked. You're in the hospital. You had a heart attack, she replied. There was something eerie about that moment. I can't explain how, but I knew I had been dead. But I could see that I'm alive, and I was conflicted. Part of me wondered why was I alive. Part of me wished I'd stayed dead. I thought about what Paul struggled with in Philippians 1:23, between wanting to be with Christ and wanting to be with you who need me. On Monday the 23rd, they pulled the external life support. I remember them pulling the breathing tube out. That was gross, right? They had me intubated. I tried to talk. I thought I sounded like Clint Eastwood. I kind of enjoyed it. I said, ooh, this is cool, right? But you can hear the Lord, when he heals it all, right? You have to take the good with the bad and the ugly. Sorry, couldn't resist that one. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I know this is not the physical heart, but I sure took it literally at that time. And he saveth such as of a contrite, as a humble spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know, we often think of our afflictions over a lifetime, but what happens when they come one after another, or they come all at one time? Those are the times that we must press in close to Jesus. You must trust his word. Don't trust your feelings or your imagination. On Tuesday, they moved me into another room in ICU. This one had a bathroom and a shower. That morning, I stood at the bathroom sink, which I walked to with my tree of electronic gear in tow. This was day 6. I was standing and I was walking on my own. Only God can do this. At the sink, looking in the mirror, I said to myself, why is my 90-year-old dad looking back at me? There he was. I was a physical wreck. I looked like I'd been a bar fight and I'd lost. I had no idea what other people were seeing. Black and blue and pale white skin, they are the attractive colors of death. The doctors and the nurses were amazed that I looked and functioned as well as I did. I was seeing the miracles of God. Those who came to visit me saw them. I was wondering how much of the nurses and the other staff, what they were seeing, who were they giving glory to? I know you are giving glory to the Lord. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones and none of them is broken. Not a bone of my body was broken. Not from the fall to the concrete floor, not from the CPR by multiple people. At least 4 people did CPR on me, including a machine. JD said he heard my ribs break. Larry said he felt like he was pushing my chest into the floor. If bones were broken from CPR, God healed them before the first X-ray. Oh, my chest was tender, but there were no broken bones. That made recovery a lot easier. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. If the enemy was involved in my troubles, the Lord stripped him of all ability to boast. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. My experience couldn't be more of a contrast. The thief came to steal my health, to kill my body, to destroy my soul, but Jesus had other plans. I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is in control, always has been, always will be. Sorry, JD. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth, he rescues the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. By Wednesday the 25th, 7 days after my heart attack, 3 days after regaining consciousness, it seems that the nurses were just observing me. They kept hinting that I would be moving to the cardiac floor. I didn't need to be in ICU anymore. My transfer to another floor never came through. I was discharged on Friday the 27th. My discharge came from the ICU. You don't discharge from ICU. The poor girls were running around trying to figure out how to do the paperwork. I think they went and got somebody else that knew how to do it to come in, because I don't want to demean them, but they were confused as to how to get rid of me. 9 days from Pastor Larry's floor dead to my living room, a life rescued. Not that I was fully recovered, but I was home, a true miracle from start to finish. These aren't all the miracles that happen. They're the only ones that are not too private for me to share. And not everything was super serious. There were a lot of humorous events over the 9 days. The nurses and I didn't seem to get our timing right. I'd click the button that I needed to go to the bathroom. They had to disconnect the wires and the gadgets so the alarms didn't go off. More than once, one of us was too late. Either me on the button or them on arrival. I learned to joke about it. I didn't cheat death. Jesus pulled me from the grave and kept me from the pit. That's Psalm 30, verse 3. At Lazarus' grave, Jesus met Martha and spoke one of the most profound statements of comfort to us, a promise to all who count on Jesus when death comes. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. A promise of everlasting life. There is an everlasting death in the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20:14. Death can take your body, but it has no power over your soul and your spirit. That's only in Jesus' hands. Your prayers did they not fall on deaf ears? I'm here to testify of that to you today. The church coming together and earnestly praying for God to deliver. You were part of that for me. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. They may not be what we like, but he hears them and he answers them. For those of you who sent cards and gifts to me, I'm grateful for your words and your thoughts. Some who wrote did so through tears and memories of those that they lost. Find rest in Jesus. Jesus still has plans for me. I will continue the fight till the next finish line. Worship team, you guys can come up. I'm still alive on this side of eternity, and I know the day will come when I'm on the other side of eternity. I will have left behind this tent and will be awaiting the resurrection. I look forward to it. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies I have been kept from destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. Father, I do lift up the body to you. Thank you for their diligence, their prayers, their love for me. Those that didn't even know who I was, beat your doors for me. Thank you and praise you. I hope that what we share tonight will touch those and they'll have more confidence and faith in you. Lord, thank you and praise you for how you love us, how you show it to us each day. Lord, let us always be thankful and grateful for how you love us and care for us. Let us be that way for one another as well. Amen.